We want to turn for initial verse to John chapter 18. And the Lord Jesus was before Pilate. And we know the Lord Jesus had various trials, some of them before the Jewish authorities and others before the secular authorities. And he was before Pilate for the first of two times. And he's going to have it. There's going to be this interaction that's very interesting, because the Lord Jesus was being tried by Pilate, or being investigated by Pilate, but in reality, Pilate was being for the Lord Jesus. And someday he's going to be before the Lord Jesus again. But the Bible says that in the last days, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And Pilate is going to ask this question: what is truth? And it's in response to something the Lord Jesus said. The Lord Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate's response was, "What is truth?" That's a question that many people are asking today. We often look at things online. Maybe we hear things on television, on the news, and we really don't know if it's true or not. And we live in an age that increasingly AI, or artificial intelligence, is becoming more and more prevalent, and will, I would expect, in an exponential way, get more prevalent. And people now can fabricate pictures, videos, images, all kinds of things. They can show images of themselves meeting famous people, which we know isn't true. But what gets dangerous is when we're not sure if it's true or not. And so there's things that are being portrayed as true, and they're false. But then there's the opposite side that's difficult. Things that are true, and people are taking advantage of this skepticism to cause doubt about things that are true. And it's been like that from the very beginning. And it's very dangerous when it comes to our eternal destiny, when it comes to spiritual things. And we've seen all through the course of history many, many deep fakes about God. Deep fakes about who God is. Deep fakes about God's messages. Things that are absolutely not true. And then the things that are true about God, people cause doubts about them. And so we would all admit there are many false religions in the world, and many cults, many different viewpoints. And we hear many people saying, "I'm speaking my truth." But there's only ever one truth. Something's either true or it's not true. Now, when I was in school, I loved math. I just loved math. And the thing about math is, when you think about, for example, 2 plus 2, we can't say, well, 2 plus 2 might equal 4. But my truth, you know, in my world, 2 plus 2 is 3. Or 2 plus 2 is 400. You know, that's my truth. But we would all admit that's crazy. And many people, unfortunately, when it comes to spiritual things, they take that kind of mindset. Whatever you think is fine. Whatever you want to believe is fine. But what does the Lord say? And so the Lord was standing before Pilate, and he spoke these words, that for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. The Lord Jesus was testifying to who he is. Many people have very different ideas about who the Lord Jesus is. But here the Lord Jesus clearly said, I have come into this world, which means that he is the Lord who is the one who always existed. He's the eternal God. He came into the world, but he was born because in a point in time, he became a man. And so here the Lord Jesus was testifying to who he is. Now, many people talk about identity today. They talk about what's my identity, and they think it can be something that evolves or can change or is a construct or something in your mind. You can say, I identify as this. But the Lord here is clearly testifying to his identity. He says, I am God, the Son of God, who came into this world. I existed before I came into this world. I am the one who was born into this world. I became a man. And so what we learn about the Lord Jesus' identity here is that he was both God and man. But the other thing he talked about was his purpose. Why did he come into this world? He came to bear witness to the truth. And what he was saying is, there's nobody else that can bear witness to the truth like I can. I am the source of truth. And I am the barometer of truth. I am the personification of truth. If you want to know truth, you have to know me. The Lord Jesus told the truth about himself, his identity, and he tells the truth about our identity, who we are. And so we must respond to, what does God say about our identity? And the Bible says that we were born into this world as sinners. That's our identity. That's the identity that we have when we come into this world. We are sinners. That's how God views us. And he views us as lost and headed towards hell. And he wants us to understand the truth so that we can be saved, that we can have that a change in identity from being a sinner to being a saved person, someone who's a believer. So how do we respond to truth? Well, we can be like Pilate and we can say, what is truth? It's not possible to know what truth is. Many ideas of what truth is. Some people will say, I speak my own truth. Might not be your truth, but I speak my own truth. But the Bible says, if you want to know the truth about yourself outside of Christ, it's this, that you are ungodly, unrighteous, and you are lost. Now, many people, when they hear that, they will suppress the truth. That's what Romans 1:18 says. People will suppress the truth. They'll beat it down. They will take it. They will not accept it. Other people will exchange the truth for other things. And that's why we have so many religions in the world. It's because people take the truth and exchange it for something else. And it's an exchange that is not a good thing to do. It's not going to help you. There are many deep fakes about the Lord. And one of them is, they say Jesus was only a man. And I know many people, even some relatives, that will say, the Lord Jesus was a great teacher. A great teacher. Many people follow him, but they cannot accept that he was God. But what does the Bible say about the Lord? Think about this image of the Lord Jesus, and the people will say he's just a man. But what does the Bible say? He is the image of the invisible God. In other words, the Lord Jesus is God. He's the perfect image of God. He's the image of his Father. It says he's the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. And so the deep fakes in the world today are the wrong ideas about the Lord Jesus, that he's only a man, or that he didn't come into this world. But the truth, the right, you could say the right video or the right image of the Lord Jesus, is that he's the one who is the eternal God who came into this world and became man. And the Lord Jesus testified that about himself. He says, I have manifested who God is. I've manifested his name. And he said to Philip says, show us the Father, And the Lord said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, I am just like my Father in heaven. And so God revealed who he is to the world. There are many deep fakes about God's character. Besides saying that there's no God, as such atheists will say there's no God, there are other people that say, well, God, I believe in a God that is like a father figure, but he's too kind and too loving to send someone to hell. Now, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He loves everybody. He wants everybody to be saved, but he's also a God of justice, and he has to be true to himself. And it's a deep fake about God to say he's too loving to send someone to hell. Because you have to remember, God is not just a loving God, but he's a holy God, a God of justice, and he has to be true to himself. And so God is all these things of God, all these attributes of God are in perfect balance. He's a God of justice, he's a God of love, and he's a God of tender mercy, but he will not force somebody to believe on him. He's given us a will. And so today, every person has the opportunity of choosing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to choose to go to heaven. But if they refuse God's gift of salvation, then God will accept your decision. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The truth of the fact that we are sinners and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Nothing we can do to save ourselves. We need a Savior that would pay the penalty for our sins. Now, I was going to have a volunteer. I don't know if there's any kids here. Can I have one of the kids as a volunteer? You want to come up here? So, come over here. So, do you mind me asking, do you know how much you weigh? No? Are you you look like a pretty strong guy, aren't you? You're a pretty, pretty strong guy? Yeah? Now, do you think you can pick yourself up? Okay, let's see you pick yourself up. Just grab yourself and pick yourself up.
No.
You can't do that, can you? But can I pick you up?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. You can't pick yourself up, but I could pick you up, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when about how do we get to heaven? We can't get to heaven by our own works. We can't lift ourselves to heaven. We need somebody else to pick us up and take us to heaven. And that's why the Lord Jesus died for our sins. He took our penalty on the cross so that we can go to heaven. We can't go to heaven by doing our own good works. We can't pick ourselves up to heaven. But because Jesus died for our sins, he, when we trust him as our Savior, he picks us up and someday will take us to heaven. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your help. That is a very foundational truth, that we cannot do anything to be saved. It's not going to church. It's not doing good works. It's not doing all the nice things, which are good things, but in God's view, that we're sinners and all the good things we do are like filthy rags. Now we might say, well, I think about some people that have done really, really bad things, and I've never done that. I seem like I'm a pretty good person. But God does not compare us to other people. He compares us to himself. And God is holy. God is perfect, and to get to heaven, you have to be holy, you have to be perfect, just like God. And none of us are. We're lost. There's nothing we can do to go to heaven. So what happens is, when the Lord Jesus died for our sins, he offers salvation, and whoever believes in him, he will take his perfectness, his righteousness, and put it to us. And from then on, God views us as perfect in Christ. Therefore, that qualifies us for heaven, because God thinks of us as perfect because we are now in Christ. And so just think about that illustration. We can't lift ourselves to heaven by doing anything ourselves. We have to trust in the one who is perfect, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he is the one who was lived this life, was a son of God, came to this earth, was perfect, never sinned, and he was one who could take our place on the cross. And because he is God, he has the infinite capacity to die for all the sins of the world. All the sins of the world for whoever will believe on him. And he had to be one of us. It had to be a human to die for the sins of humanity. And so God was the only one that was qualified. So the Son of God came to this earth and he became human so he could be our substitute. Now, I know many of you have played sports before. And I remember playing sports. And sometimes if somebody got hurt, whether playing soccer or hockey or baseball, they'd have to leave the field or leave the ice because they were injured. And they needed a substitute to take their place. Christ on the cross was our substitute. We were injured by sin. We could do nothing to lift ourselves to heaven. And so we needed a substitute, a perfect substitute, that could take our place on the cross for our sins. The Lord Jesus was that substitute for injured humanity. There's another deep fake about how we get saved. And many people will say that there are many ways to heaven. That's a deep fake about God's message. Really, when you get down to it, there's only two options in the world. One leads to hell, the other leads to heaven. The one leads to hell is that, what can I do to be saved? And all the different religions of the world have this in common. They're all the same. They're all the same. They may have different flavors, but they're all the same. It doesn't matter if it's Islam, doesn't matter if it's Hinduism, doesn't matter if it's all the different cults and all the various pseudo-Christian faith systems. They all have that one message: I must do something to be saved. But the other way is the only way somebody can truly be saved, to admit, I can do nothing. I am lost. I'm a sinner. I'm headed to hell. And there's absolutely nothing I can do to pick myself up to heaven. And you fall upon your knees and you repent and say, I am a lost sinner, but the Lord Jesus, 2,000 years ago, came to this earth and he went to the cross and he died for my sins. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We were without strength, and the Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was our substitute. The Lord Jesus has an answer for those who say there are many ways to heaven, many ways to God. And he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Notice he says, I am truth. Only through Christ can we know the truth about who God is. Only through Christ can we know the truth about what we are without Christ. And so the Lord Jesus said before Pilate, I came to bear witness, to testify of what truth is. And as he was saying that, truth himself and the person of Christ was standing before Pilate. And Pilate said, what is truth? And very sadly, truth was standing right before him, and he didn't recognize it. Now, some people deny and have a deep faith that the Lord Jesus is still in the grave. The Lord Jesus never rose from the dead. Resurrection is impossible. But when we think about God can do anything, and God had told the Lord Jesus, that he would not suffer corruption. And he went into the grave, and on the third day he rose from the dead. And he presented himself alive, it says, to many witnesses after his suffering. And it says, by many infallible proofs. It means undeniable proofs, obvious proofs. I just had the joy of sharing a few messages at an assembly on the resurrection appearances. And it's amazing when you see all the different times the Lord Jesus appeared for 40 days after his resurrection. Now, some of them didn't believe at first when they heard about it. Thomas was one of them. The Lord Jesus appeared to the other apostles. And Thomas said, unless I see him and touch him and see the nail prints in his hands, I will not believe. And a week later, the Lord Jesus appeared to all of them. And this time, Thomas was there. Thomas didn't even bother touching him. He just immediately believed. He said, my Lord and my God. If you're going to be saved today, you have to believe that the Lord Jesus is not in the grave today. He rose from the dead. And there are many witnesses. Our whole justice system is, whether Canada or the U.S., is based on testimony of witnesses. And it's based on truthful witnesses. And we read in the Bible that God the Father cannot lie. The Lord Jesus says, I am the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Lord Jesus revealed himself to many men who testified, I have seen the risen Christ. And these men who were so afraid, they ran before the Lord was crucified. They forsook the Lord. After they saw the resurrected Lord, they were willing to die for the faith. Nobody dies for a lie. And all the apostles, except maybe for John, were martyred for the faith. They were martyred for the faith because they knew it was true. And the main message, as we read the gospel message in the book of Acts, they preach the resurrection of Christ. A Christ that's still in the grave cannot save. But a Christ risen from the dead can save anyone who calls upon him. That's why it says in Romans chapter 4 that Christ was raised up. The God raised up Jesus, the Lord, from the dead. And he was delivered for our sins, but he was raised so that we could be justified. The reason we can be saved today is because Christ has risen from the dead. He's alive. This distinguishes the truth, real truth, from all the deep fakes about God. The deep fakes about God that show themselves and manifest themselves in different religions, all their leaders are dead. But the truth revolves and is embodied by one who was dead, but now is alive. And the Lord said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Because he's alive forever, never to die again, he can be the Savior for all who believe on him. And then another deep fake is that people deny that there's a hell. Many people will say, well, so-and-so, he's lived a terrible life. Mass murderer. Think about some of the evil leaders of the world in the past. Hitler, Stalin. Yeah, they deserve hell. And there must be a hell for them, but not anyone else. But the Bible says if you reject Christ, that's the only other option for you. You will someday spend a lost eternity in the lake of fire. As Revelation 20 verse 15 says, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But today you can be saved. Today is a day to be saved because that time will soon be over and it will be too late. There's no second chances. There's no purgatory. You leave this life, it's over. Your destiny is sealed. Now is a day of salvation. Now I want to give an illustration because I like this illustration because I'm Scottish ancestry. I did the DNA test. I'm 82% Scottish. Three of my four grandparents were. And there's a really famous historical event in Scotland that many people from Scotland would know. And it occurred in 1691, 1692. And it's referred to as the Glencoe Massacre. Now, William of Orange had deposed King James VII. King James VII was out of the picture, in exile. But some of the clans still were loyal to him. They had sworn an oath to King James. Now, William of Orange wanted to know that the clans were going to be loyal to him. So there was a decree made, and under the inspiration of Dalrymple, the Secretary of State, they came up with this plan that all the clans had to swear an oath to William of Orange by January 1st, 1692, under the threat of fire and sword. And if they didn't do it by that date, they could be killed. And so Maclean, who was head of the Macdonalds, delayed and procrastinated. But finally, on December 28th, he decided, I'm going to go and swear that oath because it's, you know, I'm taking the king at his word. And so he went to Fort William, but there was nobody there to take the oath. He had delayed and he got there, but nobody was qualified to take the oath. And so then he had to travel another 60 miles to Inverary. And there on January 6th, he found someone finally that took his oath to William of Orange. And he thought he was safe, but he was late. And Dalrymple, who didn't really like the clans, especially the Macdonalds, said that they should be punished for this because they didn't take the oath on time. And they got some soldiers from the Argyll Regiment and led by the Campbells. And they went to the Macdonalds in Glencoe. And in those days, it was normal to show hospitality to visitors. So the Macdonalds had no idea what was going to happen. And so for 2 weeks, they showed hospitality to these soldiers. And then the order came from Dalrymple on February 12th in the evening, the next day at 5 a.m., you're to slay everyone at 70 and under. And at 5 a.m., the massacre began, and 38 men, women, and children were massacred. Many escaped into the mountains. In fact, it was a bit of a mercy because some soldiers hadn't come to block off the access route. And so some escaped, but some of the women and children, including Maclean's wife, died under the hostile winter conditions in the mountains. And Maclean himself was slain by the soldiers. And the moral of this, or the illustration, is that, first of all, they procrastinated, and they paid the penalty for their procrastination. But then when they procrastinated, then they went to the wrong person. The wrong person. And many people today, when it comes to their eternal destiny, they try all these different options. They go to the wrong person, the wrong religion, when they have to go to the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that glen that is in Glencoe in the mountains there became known as the Glen of Weeping. The Glen of Weeping. And the Bible says someday, all those who are cast into hell, into the lake of fire, it will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because there will be a recognition, there will be a memory. I could have been saved. I could have trusted the Lord as my Savior. There was a God who loved me so much that he would send his son to die for my sins, and I could have been saved. I could have had eternity with the Lord, and I chose to procrastinate. I chose to reject Christ, and now it's too late. There's no middle class in eternity. Today we see a upper class and a middle class and a poor class and maybe a very poor class. maybe a very rich class, different class systems. But in eternity, you're either very, very rich or you're very, very poor. Very, very rich spiritually with the Lord forever. Lost in hell, very, very poor. Says of the Lord Jesus, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. We will someday in eternity be sharing in the riches of Christ if we trust him as our Savior. But there's an enemy that wants you to get distracted. Distracted by deep fakes about God. Distracted about the attractions of this world. To not think about your eternal destiny. Don't make that mistake. That's the number one important thing in your life. It's not your physical health. It's not your job. It's not your education. None of these things, even though they are important, they're not the most important thing. The most important thing you can think about today, right now, if you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, just ask yourself, who am I trusting my eternal destiny to? And if you're not sure, please talk to me or talk to someone else here who can show you from the Bible, the Word of God. It's the source of truth because it speaks of the one who is the living truth. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Make sure you make that choice today. The Bible says now is a day of salvation. You don't know if you have tomorrow. You don't even know if you have 10 minutes from now. I know a lot of people who thought they had tomorrow and they lost their life. And if you die without Christ, there's no hope. I just urge you, if you're not sure, make sure today. And you can have that confidence. These things I've written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Choose life today. You can do it. And I urge you to do that. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we've had in your Word. We thank you for this wonderful feast that we've had. And we thank you for the games that we have played and will play later. But we know, Father, that the most important thing today is to know the eternal destiny of our soul. And we just pray, Father, that if there's anyone here not sure, whether they're a child, a young boy or a young girl, or a middle-aged or a young person, a teenager, or even an older person, not sure about their soul and where will they spend eternity, help them to want to make that decision today, to get that settled. Father, give them no peace until they do make that decision, Father, to trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And help us not to be distracted about all the deep fakes about God, about who he is, his identity, and about our identity, Father. Help us to know, Father, that our identity, the first time we're born into this world, is we're lost sinners, but we can be saved and have a change in our identity to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.